Supposed to be an ending to that song, but we didn't hit it, so good. If I didn't say anything, nobody would ever know. That's a great song. I believe. Blessed hope, the book and the blood. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the music this morning. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. The title of the message this morning is Launch Out. Is Launch Out, and this goes along with our theme. And we preached on this back in January on the 12th. And I want to bring it back out and reemphasize again our theme for the year. I don't want our theme just to be something on the wall. I want something that's absolutely emphasized and re-preached and re-emphasized. And I think we've done a good job on that in the last two or three years of making sure our theme is not just, again, on the wall. We have preached several messages along this line. I know you've pretty much every message I preach, I can tag on the end of it and launch out into the deep, you know? And we've done a lot of that because even you preach on Ruth last Sunday. I mean, did Ruth launch out into the deep or what? I mean, she put her life on the line, per se, to launch out, to go back with Naomi. I mean, just nearly any character in the Bible that's of any significance had to step out by faith, had to put their trust in the Lord, and had to launch out. We preached three messages over the last three or four months on trusting the Lord. We talked about that trusting the Lord for guidance there in Proverbs chapter 3. We've talked about and preached on trusting the God for peace. And we've talked about and preached on trusting God for strength. And so I just want to reemphasize with you that launching out into the deep is, for the most part, putting our faith and trust in Him so that we can do that. And can I tell you, as we've been preaching on Wednesday nights, though it's been a little while, on the attributes of God, we can trust Him. God can be trusted with everything in every area of our life. So let's look here again. Familiar passage, we've read it several times. Let's read it again. Verse 1, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when He had left speaking, He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto Him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will let down the net. And I'd like to point out again, Jesus said, let down the nets. Peter let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto them and to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed Him. Let's pray. Again, Lord, we come to You, thanking You for Your wonderful love for us. We just pray this morning that we would be encouraged once again to launch out, that You would touch hearts, that You would just speak to hearts in that still small voice, and that You would get us a little bit out of our comfort zone this year and help us to step out by faith and do some things personally and collectively as a church. We thank You for what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things this morning I would like to point out is that when Jesus asked Peter to launch out into the deep, that Peter had been fishing all night. That his company of disciples there had been fishing all night and had caught nothing. They had failed in their endeavor to fish. And I'm going to tell you, many times when God is asking us to step out and do something by faith, it seems like so much of the time that we've experienced some discouragement, or we've experienced some tragedy, or we've experienced some testing, or we've experienced some temptation, or whatever it may be, when God comes to us and speaks to us in that still small voice. In other words, A lot of times when God asks us to do something, it's sometime in the midst of our discouragement when He asks us to do something. I don't know about you, but if I'd fished all night and caught nothing, I'd be a little discouraged. I don't like to stay up all night doing anything. 9 o'clock is my bedtime. And if I could, I'd go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. I get grouchy. When I turned 40, like a switch went off on me. And I get tired, I get grouchy. I don't know what happened. My kids are saying, "What's wrong with you, Dad?" I said, "I don't know, I turned 40, that's what happened." I get grouchy. And so, you know, 9 o'clock's my time to go sleep. But if I would have fished all night, and I have done that before, I would have been very discouraged had I caught nothing. So what I want to do, what I want to encourage you this morning is, just because you're in the midst of a battle in your own life, whether it be some financial problem, health problem, whatever, you make up the list. By the way, Jesus said, "In this world you shall have tribulation." Listen, just because you're saved and born again and a child of God does not exempt you from problems. But I just want to encourage you that just because you're going through a problem does not mean that you're exempt from launching out. Just because you're maybe discouraged or going through a time of testing or whatever it may be does not mean you're exempt from launching out into the deep. Peter was in that midst of that testing, if you would, and was asked by Jesus to launch out. There are a lot of things going on in our world today that would cause discouragement. And I could make a list and I'll give you a few, but you think about, you realize there are 1,500 pastors that are leaving the pastorate every month in America today. 1,500 pastors, the latest statistics. That's a little discouraging. You think about the daily news, and I told you, I have a Fox app on my phone. We went to free TV at our house here, close to a year ago, so we don't have Fox News anymore. Free TV's been all right, by the way. Kids have gotten used to it. We've gotten used to it. ESPN, I miss it a little bit. But, you can read Fox News. You can listen to Fox News. You can really get immersed in the news of today, and you can get discouraged pretty quick. There's a lot of pressure today. There's a lot of things going on today that all of us would agree that the world is just seems like it's going crazy. It just the drift is very apparent. But can I remind you that in the midst of a world that may have gone crazy, that God is asking us to launch out? In the midst of the pressure of the world, in the midst of the discouragement of this life in which sometimes we live in, can I just encourage you that we need to launch out? Lord has called him. By the way, the Lord called his disciples. And can I remind you? I need to quit saying that so much. But you realize that Peter was a fisherman. The disciples were common men. They were the average Joe. Hello? Don't think that Jesus came to a group of scientists and said, "Launch out into the deep." Don't think that Jesus came to a group of wealthy people and said, "Launch out into the deep." Group of common folks, just like us, asking them to launch out into the deep. Again, these disciples in the previous chapters had seen Jesus perform some great miracles. In fact, we've already stated before that Peter got to see the Lord, heal his mother-in-law, which is a great miracle from God. And heal many that came to Peter's mother-in-law's house. The Bible says that there was a great multitude that gathered in front of Peter's mother-in-law's house, and there Jesus healed them and did so, cast out demons and did so many of these things. And so these disciples witnessed this. These disciples had heard the voice of Jesus, had seen Jesus' words perform great miracles. And so Peter, when he was asked to launch out, he had already been introduced to the power of the words of Jesus and the power of obeying His commands. The Bible is a book of history. But as the Bible is a book of history, it is a book of stories, but they are a book of history. This really happened. I think sometimes we get the idea that, these are good moral stories, or these are good, good stories to tell children in Sunday school. But can I just say, listen, these were written for us. And these were written for our application. These are written for, for our good. These were recorded, I mean, of all the things that Luke could have recorded and the gospel writers could have recorded, this was recorded for us. Peter's response to the Word of God changed his life. When Jesus said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught," and Peter said, "Listen, Lord, we've toiled all night." You know, we can give Peter flack for, you know, making excuses or saying something, but he did say, "Nevertheless, at thy word." Why did he say that? Because he'd already seen Jesus perform these great miracles. He'd already witnessed the power of the Word of Jesus. He'd already understood the power of the Lord. He understood that. And when the Lord asked him to do something that was unreasonable, they told all night. Peter was a fisherman. He knew that lake. By the way, again, this was a lake, not a sea. It was a freshwater lake, the Lake of Gennesaret, the Lake of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, was about a 60,000 acre lake, which is, Texoma is a 90,000 acre lake. So Texoma is a bigger lake than the Sea of Galilee. So kind of keep that in mind. But Peter, James, John, these men had fished this lake all their life. I've been fishing Eagle Mountain for about 7 or 8 years. And I can go out there pretty much any time and catch some fish. I've only been skunked a few times since I've learned more in the last couple of years. Maybe once or twice I've been skunked. Everybody understand what it means to be skunked? It means you didn't catch nothing. So what you do when you catch the first fish, you say, "I got the skunk off of me." None of y'all done that? Okay. Brother Wilson, some of you guys understand. Y'all are with me. So I've fished Eagle Mountain now. Some of you fished it longer than me, and I hate telling fishing stories, but this goes along with the deal. But I've fished it now for 7, 8 years. I can catch fish on it pretty much any time I want. Why? I'm familiar with the lake. You get a new guy that gets out on the lake, unless he's just, some of the guys are talented, but it takes a while to learn the lake. Brother Schuller knows. It takes a while. And once you learn the lake and you know where the fish tend to be, you go catch them. We've caught probably 400 or 500 fish in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Peter knew how to fish. And he was familiar with this lake. He'd been fishing it all of his life. Please get this. James and John, these men knew how to fish, and they've been fishing this lake all their life. I've been fishing Eagle Mountain for a few years. I don't quite get it yet. I mean, I'm there. I know men on that lake who fished it for 40 years. A man named Johnny Stevens, he's been a real blessing to my family, showing us how to fish many times. And Brother Terry, showing us how to fish and where to fish. But these men have been fishing this lake all their life. They knew this lake backwards and forwards, upside down. They knew when the fish had a tendency to bite. They knew the pattern of the fish and where the fish. They didn't have a fish finder. I have an electronic instrument on my boat that literally is a picture TV that looks down into the water and tells me if there's fish below me or not. These men didn't have a TV showing them the fish below them. No, they had fished this lake years and years and years and years. Listen. They fished it over and over and over and again. Every day, fished it. And when Jesus asked them to launch out in the deep and let down their nets for a draught, Peter in his mind said, "We toiled all night, caught nothing." And I could see him in his mind say, "It's not the time of day to be fishing anyway." The fish, apparently at that time, if he was fishing all night, that meant the fish were having a tendency to bite at night. the pattern was the fish were biting at night. That's why he went fishing then. I imagine in his own mind he's saying, "They're not biting right now." There's certain times of year you can go out to Eagle Mountain, you can't catch nothing. I know those times of year. I don't go out there and fish. "Lord, we toiled all night, caught nothing." I could see again in his mind him saying to himself, "I know this lake. I know this lake. I'm familiar with. The fish aren't going to bite right now. The fish are, of course, they're catching with nets, but they're not here to be found. They're scattered. They're not bunched up together for us to get them in the net." Hello, help me. Let's get in Peter's mind a little bit. Everybody with me? It wasn't the right time. It wasn't. So what is Peter saying? He's saying, "Lord, we toiled all night, caught nothing." Then he thinks back. I no doubt in my mind he's thinking about the mother-in-law who got healed. Nobody's looking back and saying, and looking back and in his mind saying, watching those demons be cast out of those people. Watching him heal broken legs and watching him heal people that have never walked before and healing the blind and the sick and the maimed. And he had seen Christ do all these things. And so he said, nevertheless, listen, he said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I'm telling you, we can get in a place where we get discouraged and we go through all these trials and these testings and we're in a place in our life where we may not want to venture out. And that may be the time which the Lord comes to us. Says, hey, I want you to do this. Whatever that may be. I'm not just talking about service either. I'm not talking about every person in our church family. You know, this is a sermon to motivate you to teach a Sunday school class or to work on the bus route or to come out for soul winning. I'm talking about in your personal life. This may be the Lord speaking to you about spending more time with your kids. Maybe the Lord speaking to you about a job situation or whatever it may be. Something, a venture that you may have been thinking about and praying about and the Lord's asking you to launch out and you say in your own mind, it's not time. It's not the right time. And the Lord in that still small voice says, launch out. Launch out into the deep. Launch out. In Peter's own mind, I know he was saying, Lord, in his mind, now he didn't say it verbally, but in his mind, by the way, the Lord could read his mind. But in his mind, he's saying, this is not reasonable. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll launch out. I'll let down the net for a draught. Listen, as Christians, as born again children of God, let us launch out. Say, well, my circumstance is this, Pastor. My circumstance is that. And I can't launch out right now. I've got too much stuff going on. I'm just busy. Launch out. Launch out. Get beyond your comfort zone. I used that in the last message. I used that song, you know, sitting on the dock of the bay. Some of y'all know that song. I like to look out at the congregation. Everybody smiles. The song, and I've heard it maybe a couple of times. I don't know all the words to it, but sitting on the dock of the bay, it says wasting time. Boy, there's a lot of us sitting on the dock of the bay in Christianity. Really is. A lot of us wasting time. The Lord's just asking us to launch out. Launch out. Peter responded to the Word of God. It changed his life. He responded to God, the Lord's Word to launch out. It changed his life. Peter went from being a fisher of a fish to fisher of men. It changed his life. And I'm telling you, as you look back in your life and you can see times in your life where you did some launching out, it changes you, doesn't it? It changes how you respond to the Lord. I respond to the Lord differently now at the age of 40. I respond to the Lord differently having been saved now since I was 6 years old. I respond to the Lord differently having seen the Lord in my own life do some miracles. I've seen God do great things for me. One of the things, I haven't used this illustration in a long time, but I'll never forget. In Bible college, our first year in Bible college, me and my wife were living in a little house in the big city of Bowie, Texas, that a friend of ours let us live in for free. There are some reasons why he did that. First off, I was pretty handy, so I did a lot of work on the house. But this house was in need of much repair. You could sit in the living room and look out through the cracks in the door, on the front door, all the way around it. You could see outside. A particular wasp had built a big hive inside the wall of that house. And on occasion, you'd get stung. I got stung. Anyway, this house, in the restroom, him and I had gotten in there. The floor had been gone. We just put down a piece of plywood, and that's it. Piece of plywood. And then around the bathtub was a gap about that wide where you could just stick your hand down. And it was a pyramid beam house, so you could stick your hand down beside it. So the air from underneath the house would come up around you while you were taking a bath. Our shower. Oh, there was no shower. It was an interesting house. Had those Dearborn heaters, you know. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Dearborn heaters. You wake up in the morning because there wasn't a heater in the. By the way, there were no doors in that house except the outside doors. All the doors were gone. You wake up in the morning, you know, in the bedroom when it was cold, and you breathe smoke in the house. Good times. Good times. You know, the first 2 or 3 years of ministry for us was, you know, financially wasn't the best times in the world. And at that time, we were down to nothing. I mean, there was nothing. And it just amazes me how the Lord sent a check in the mail that we weren't, you know, didn't know we would receive. And God, I believe God sent it in the mail. It was about $200, I think. That was a huge thing. $200, man, we could buy a lot of groceries with that. And it was, you know, we hadn't had kids yet, so it was just fending for ourselves. But I remember taking that check and literally, shoot, my wife will testify, running up and down the street. I bet people thought I was crazy. But I remember us praying together, praying separately. Lord, you know, we're here in this situation. We've been in Bible college maybe 3 or 4 months, and I'd gotten laid off, and some other things had happened. My boss didn't want me anymore. I was sad. Because I couldn't work for him full time, and I was in Bible. Anyway, it was a tough time. And I remember God, there is no other explanation for that check except that God sent it to our house. You say, well, preacher, such and such, so. No, God sent that to my house. And I ran up and down the street glorifying Him and dancing before Him, as David did. Yeah, easy, it's Baptist church, I know. I mean, I was kicking and screaming and just, I had just a great time all by myself. It was awesome. I can look back, and that's not the only incident. And a lot of you have been Christians a long time. You should be able to go back and say, you know what? I launched out into the deep to work at a church for $75 a week back then. I launched out. I said, preacher said I can pay you $75. I said, amen, let's do it. Wife was making a little better money than that, thankfully. I launched out into the deep and did some things that took some faith, and God blessed that. And that's not the only time. I can, time after time, in which I have got out of my comfort zone a little bit, and I stepped out a little bit, and this church has done it. We've seen that. Listen, when we bought this property, we launched down to the deep. Listen, we didn't have $1 million in the bank or whatever the case is. In fact, we had to raise $60,000 in order to purchase this property. We had about 30 in the bank, and we raised another 30 in 30 days. We had people in this church, and I think some of you are still here, who went and had garage sales. I mean, personally, I know one family that went on their credit card. You know how you get them checks in the mail for your credit card? They wrote a $1,000 check from a credit card. I'm like, I don't know if that's very good stewardship, but I'm glad you gave it. They stepped out by faith and gave that credit card, and I know they paid it off, but man, they just stepped out by faith and did something, and God blessed that. God blessed us with this land to build this church on, the buildings on. I mean, listen, God, the longer we've lived, the longer we have seen God work in our life, the difference in the way we respond today than I would have responded back when I was 18 or 21 or even back when I was 30. I would respond differently today. And listen, Peter responded because he had seen the miracles that Jesus had performed. He'd seen the words of Jesus and the power of the words of Jesus. And let me tell you this morning that the Lord's words, God's word, has power. And when Jesus asks you to do something, when He speaks to you in that still small voice, and you're in a service like this or a service like tonight, and conviction comes upon your heart, and that yearning inside of you is telling you to do something, the Holy Spirit inside of you is telling you to do something, do it. You say, well, what the Lord's asking me to do doesn't necessarily make sense. Do it. We say, well, what He's asking me to do is not reasonable. It may do this. It may hurt me this way or whatever. Well, the Lord's asking to do it. Do it. You say, well, I can't teach a class. I can't talk very good. I'm scared to walk up to a door and knock on the door and invite somebody to church. But if the Lord's telling you to do it, do it. Do it. Launch out into the deep. Get beyond your comfort zone. Get off the dock of the bay. Wade out a little bit deeper. We're 5 months into the year. I asked you this a few Sundays ago. Have you launched out yet? If you go back to January 12th when I preached the first message, have you done anything since that time to launch out? I'm not saying you have to launch out head first. Some of y'all, and there's a verse to back this up, and I'm going to pull it out and preach it. And there's a song that goes with it. Y'all know the song, Step Into the Water, that Southern Gospel song? It's based upon a prophetic message by the prophet. He talks about getting out into the water ankle deep. Some people just need to get out ankle deep. That would be awesome. Some of you need to just take a baby step. Some of you need to get out knee deep. Some of you are already ankle deep. Now you need to get out knee deep. Some of you need to get out waist deep. Some of you need to get up to your, you know, you've already been out waist deep. You need to get out a little further. But if God's calling you to launch it out to the deep, get out to the deep. Full surrender. All in. Right? Amen. Launch out into the deep. Our response to the Lord needs to be a heartfelt surrender to Him and to His Word. Launch out into the deep. I think about Peter, what the Lord told Peter to do. To launch out, to thrust way out, away from his comfort zone, out where it was not reasonable. He asked Peter to step out by faith and do something. To trust in Him. Faith is the daring of the soul to go past what we can see. It's not common sense, but living by faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Soul winning, visitation, those areas do not make common sense. But He's asked us to do it, and we do it. He blesses it. God sometimes does not intervene in our lives until we do something that is not humanly possible. Let's say that again. God sometimes does not intervene in our lives until something is humanly impossible. I'll say it a little different way. Sometimes God does not intervene in our life because we haven't attempted anything for Him. That to us may seem impossible or unreasonable. By the way, God loves the impossible odds. Trust Him. Trust Him. Or you're saying I should do something foolish. I didn't say do something foolish. And for each person launching out to the deep, it's different. Your launching out into the deep is different than my launching out into the deep. What I'm saying is, the Lord's asking you to launch out and have you launched out. Jesus simply wants us to obey His Word. Again, Peter had seen what happens when he obeyed. And he said, nevertheless, at Thy Word I will. Do you believe the Word of God is powerful? Boy, it is, isn't it? And when it's preached and when it's taught by your Sunday school teacher or preached by myself or someone else in this pulpit, it is powerful. When you read it on a daily basis, it's powerful. And if you're saved this morning and you're a child of the King and you know Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit abides in you, it's powerful in that it will speak to you. And when it speaks to you, when the Word of God speaks to you, you should obey. How do we launch out into the deep? We launch out at His Word. Where do we launch out into the deep? I enjoy fishing. And I like this theme this year because it's going to be a lot of good. I enjoy fishing. It is my hobby. I'll go, and honestly, the men here know me well. I'll let them testify. There may be weeks that I don't fish. I'll go 6 weeks without fishing or so forth. But then there may be 3 or 4 weeks where I fish a lot. Depends on my time and what I have time for. I see a lot of people fishing on the shore. And you can go out to most lakes and you can catch some fish on the shore. You can catch a few fish. Most of the time, unlike the first time that me and Brother Clark went fishing on the shore, We took our boats out. We caught a ton on the shore. Didn't even need to get our boats in the water. But most of the time, that is not the case. Most of the time, if you're going to fish from the shore in a big lake, you're not necessarily going to catch a lot of fish. It's just not going to happen on a consistent basis. Certain times of the year, yes, but not on a consistent basis. In other words, if you want to really catch some fish, you're going to invest in a boat. You're going to invest in a kayak. You're going to invest in one of those little inner tubes you blow up and sit down inside of. Some of y'all seen those? When I was a kid, we made them. You know, took some old truck tires, inner tubes, and took some ski rope, tied it around it, made a little seat. Y'all never did that as a kid? That was awesome. You can get out in the middle of the pond and fish. But if you're going to catch, listen now, if you're going to catch some fish, if you're going to catch fish consistently, if you're going to catch a lot of fish consistently, you're going to have to invest in some equipment. In other words, in order to get out into the lake, in order to launch out, it's going to cost you something. And I'm done with this point. But if you were going to launch out in the deep, a lot of times people won't launch out because they know what it's going to cost. And they don't want to pay the cost. See, in order to show up on Tuesday night visitation and show up on Saturday mornings, it costs some time. In order to teach a Sunday school class and show up for master clubs and help or children's church or whatever, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take preparation and study and whatever the case is. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some investment. Amen. In order to launch out into the deep, it costs something. And something that doesn't cost something isn't worth anything anyway. I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is asking you to launch out. In order to launch out, you've got to trust Him. Peter trusted Him because he'd seen the great things and the miracles He'd already performed. I've seen the miracles in my life that God has performed that can only be accredited to Him. And therefore, I respond differently today than I did 20 years ago. Peter understood that it cost something. It's going to cost something. But oh man, the cost is worth it. The cost is worth it. When you get on this side of the miracle, when you get on this side of seeing God working your life, woo! You know, it's like, man, that was amazing. Let's do it again. You say, well, I've seen the miracles, but I've seen a few defeats too. Oh, I've seen two or three. Maybe. No, I've seen a bunch. Certainly doesn't keep us from launching out again when He asks me to. Or when He asks us as a church to. You say, preacher, I thought we had bus routes before. We did. We even had some, when we got out here to the property, we had some van routes. And I think we've tried van routes two other times in the last 4 or 5 years. Didn't fly very good. Well, what are you doing? Doing it again. Lord told us to. Go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. We're just going to keep trying, keep launching out into the deep. Lord will bless it. Keep going. Keep trying. Keep launching out into the deep. I'm glad I have a Lord that can be trusted. I'm glad I have one that I can believe and trust in implicitly. I serve a God. And by the way, what did He say there in verse 5? He said, Master. By the way, it's the first time it's found in Luke. Master. He recognized who His Master was. Jesus is my Master. He's the boss. I'm glad that I have a Master who can be dependent. By the way, my Master was my Creator. My Master is the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. My Master is Jesus. Jesus, God in the flesh. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who made all things. The God who sent His Son, Jesus, to this world. Who lived a perfect life, was born in that manger and then lived a perfect life. Listen, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. This same Jesus, this Master, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Never one time did Jesus Christ have a sinful thought. Never one time did He perform a sinful deed. Jesus Christ was sinless. The God who created the universe became a man, lived a sinless life for 33 and a half years, and the Bible says they took Him. And by wicked hands, they slew Him. Jesus said, though, No man takes my life, but I lay it down. And Jesus laid Himself down that cross, and He allowed those Roman soldiers to nail Him to that cross. They lifted that cross up and put it down in that hole, and there Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. There Jesus Christ hung on that cross and shed His blood to forgive me and to save me and to die for my sins. I'm a sinner. The Bible says, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We are all sinners by nature. We're all selfish by nature. But Jesus Christ came and died and shed His blood for me. And there He gave His life for me on the cross. They took Him off the cross and placed Him in a tomb. But I'm here to tell you, 3 days later, He arose from the dead. Jesus Christ now lives at the right, sits at the right hand of the throne of God. They're making intercession for me. Jesus Christ, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose of a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. He arose. And there He sits at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for me. He died for me, shed His blood for me. He died for you, shed His blood for you, in order that your sins might be forgiven, that you might escape hell, and that I might escape hell and have a home in heaven. That's who I'm putting my trust in. I hope you have put your trust in Him as well. If you haven't, it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. I pray today, we're going to sing a song in just a second, and you can step out of your chair, you can come forward here to this altar, and someone here, one of these workers here at the front, will show you from the Word of God how you can have eternal life. Listen this morning. Are you saved? Are you putting your trust in Him and Him alone? Listen, it's not about what church you join. It's not about whether you have been baptized or not. It's whether or not you have repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your only means of salvation from the wrath of God that's been placed upon your sins. Listen, I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ for my salvation, but I'm also putting my faith and trust in Him in my everyday life. And when He asks me to do something, I'm going to do my very best with the help of the Holy Spirit to do it. And when He asks us to launch out, He's asking us to do it not in our power, but in His power, knowing that what He's asked us to do, we can perform it. Listen this morning, have you launched out? Have you launched out? This is not the final message. We're going to preach several more of these in the next few weeks. Launch out into the deep. Let's all stand. Let's sing I Surrender All, hymn 153. After we pray. God, we thank You for Your Son, whom You sent to die for us, to shed His blood for us, that we might have everlasting life. And I pray this morning, if there's someone here in the congregation who has never put their faith and trust in Your Son as their Savior, I pray they'd do so today. God, I'm asking this morning, as I know You have, You've spoken to hearts through this message and other messages this year, I pray that our membership, our church family, would launch out into the deep, more so this year than ever. God, we've seen You work some mighty miracles in the past. We've seen You do some great things. I've seen You do great things in my life. I've seen You do great things in many of the members' lives here. What a wonderful thing it is. What a wonderful, wonderful experience to see You perform great miracles. And I pray this morning that You would do it again. Lord, that You perform in the lives of Your children. God, that You would do some mighty acts through us and through this church. We'd see many souls saved, many fish caught. Lord, bless this time. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.